Before Greg and Michelle come up and minister to us, it's been a pure delight and a sheer pleasure having them with us again. And some of you who knew might not know the whole story with Greg and Michelle, but you spoke about honoring last night, and it just jumped up in my heart again. 1994, two people arrived at this church in South Africa called Highway Christian Community. And two of us first, then the third person. Anybody else want to correct me? Hey? Us three, yes. Okay. Yes, thanks, Chris. And we came into the church. I didn't really want to go to this church. Bridget went along, and then I said, if we're ever going anywhere, we're going to go to this church. And we were a messed up couple. Yeah, we were. And under Greg and Michelle's ministry, I gave my life to the Lord. And I was the son in that house. I became a father in the house. And I honor you guys. Greg and Michelle, although I'm older, are our spiritual mother and father. And we've had this connection for all these years. And they've always been our go-to guys. And this whole thing about our inheritance, and when we go back to church, we'll lay it out for you a little bit better, but there's so much more in this inheritance than we're seeing, and scriptures just keep popping up that they keep using, that we go, oh, that was scripture was given to us X amount of years ago. Oh, this scripture we had given to us by God, this stuff. And so we're seeing more than when we stood up in January, the four elders, and said, guys, this is what we think the Lord is saying to us. And I believe more and more that the bridge, the families, the individuals in this church are riding the cusp of a wave for something great into the future. And because we are here, this is part of their inheritance too. Because we are products of their ministry and showing Jesus to us and how to love Jesus and to love one another. And so it's a privilege for myself and Bridget and Louise, the three of us, to be here. Can you imagine that God took Louise away from our household for many years? Took her to England first, and we thought she was gone forever. Then she ended up in Canada, and now we're in Canada. Greg and Michelle went in 1999 to plant a church in Atlanta, and here we're all on the same continent together. God's got great plans, and sometimes we don't know. And so I just wanted to, we just honor them. We honor and love you guys, and bless you. And who's going first? Michelle.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having us. It's just such a joy to come. We have our church sending text messages and emails and how things going, and please send our love. And Mark and Bridget know some of the members, but there's hugs and kisses and emoticons being sent from Atlanta, Georgia to you guys. Mark and Bridget were very much surrogate grandparents for our daughter Nicole, because we didn't have family when we were in Durban that were there at the time when we first moved. And Mark and Bridget and Louise used to babysit Nicole when she was 2 and 3 and take her to school. And so we have very fond memories. And so it's such a joy for us to see what the Lord is doing and has done and is still going to do. He's very, very much in our hearts. Before we came here, I was asking the Lord to give me a word for the bridge. And so I'm going to read, I felt like he gave me Isaiah 62. So I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to tell you what I feel like the Lord is saying to you. But I feel like this chapter is a prophetic chapter of scripture for you at this time. So it says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until her imputed righteousness and vindication go forth as brightness, and her salvation radiates as does a burning torch. And the nations shall see your righteousness and vindication, And all kings shall behold your salvation and glory, and you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. You shall also be so beautiful and prosperous as to be thought of as a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, nor shall your land be called desolate any more. But you shall be called Hephzibah, my delight is in her, and your land be called Beulah, married, for the Lord delights in you, the bridge. And your land shall be married and owned and protected by the Lord. For as a young man marries a virgin, O Jerusalem, so shall your sons marry you, and the bridegroom rejoices. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. I've set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem. You shall never hold their peace, day or night. You, who are his servants, and by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises, and keep not silence. And give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, surely I will not again give your grain as food for your enemies, and the invading sons of aliens shall not drink your new wine for which you have toiled. But they who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they who have brought in the vintage shall drink it at the feast celebrated in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard over the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him. And they shall be, call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. You shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And this is what I feel like the Lord is saying to you. The scars that you've received in the battle have become medals of war because you walk in my victory. You are beginning to taste of that which I've prepared you for. And it is good. The Lord says, I'm jealous over you, and I'm jealous for many to see my favor manifest on you. And I feel like that says the Lord wants to display his favor through you. He wants people to see the bridge and recognize the favor of God. The Lord says, you stand on fruitful ground, and I've called you to bear much fruit. Many have tried to take the fruit of this house for their own gain, and at times you have felt like your trees are plucked bare. But the Lord says it's time for fruit-bearing years. Abundant fruit that you have watered and nurtured. The Lord says you will eat of your own fruit, and you will give it away to many. Those that have come against you are as nothing, and now I'm sending many who are for you that will be pillars in this house. The Lord says, I will display my splendor on you, and you will stand out among many. Do not try and conform to what pleases others, because I've placed a unique call on this church. Many times, even the root system of this house has been shaken to a point of destruction. But the Lord says, the roots are secure in me and will not stop producing fruit. Fruit of my presence, fruit of restoration, fruit of power, will come from this place, and inheritance will be restored in this place. The Lord says, you are called to lead change and alter mindsets and step into supernatural places with me that will cause many to hunger for me. The Lord says, I delight in you, people of the bridge, and my promises over you are ever before my eyes. Bring them to remembrance often. The banner of forsaken or forgotten has long been removed from you, and the banner of sought out and redeemed waves above your head. The Lord says, I've called you to carry much authority in the Spirit. Just as individuals are generals, the Lord says, so is this house a general house in the Spirit. You are called to lead others. You are called to stand firm, to take new territory, to bear much fruit, and to prepare ways for my bride to walk in. The Lord says that these ways will not always be celebrated, but you are under a mandate from me to be waymakers and to go out ahead. It is part of your root system to be pioneers and not followers, to set trends in the spirit as you lead many to freedom and out of captivity. And the Lord says many times, you will create a bridge in the spirit so others can walk into their freedom. You will create pathways over obstacles to freedom and roadways over obstacles to inheritance. The Lord says, prepare the way for the people, cast up the highway, and go through the gates now. So that's what I feel like the Lord has for you now. I feel like it's time to go through the gates and possess your inheritance because you stand on fruitful ground. And I would love us to pray for you guys, Mark and Bridget. Is that okay? I just feel like we need to set that in the spirit, that it's time for you to step into a different place. It's time for you to, the Lord's called you to set trends in the spirit.
Why don't you guys come stand up here? I think this is something key. You guys have been leading the church for 7 years. Part of what the Lord spoke to us is that the scripture in Joshua 3, for 7 years they crossed over but hadn't walked into the inheritance. And the Lord said, now what are you waiting for? And go and take the inheritance. And it's been a scripture that's been recurring for me all weekend. And we haven't managed to get there. But part of the call of God was, it's time now. Go take the inheritance. And that's what it feels like in the spirit of your church. As I spoke a little bit last night, there's been a season of peace. And that's been okay. But it feels like the Holy Spirit, and again this morning, the word of the Lord is, let's go and take some ground. Let's go and take the hill country. Go and find your place. And what's beautiful is the sense of unity and love and care and commitment. But I think it's now time for us to say, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? And as one tribe, begin to step forward in God. Say, Lord, what do you want us to do? And so what I'm loving is that there's a unity, there's a real sweetness. You love one another. There's also an openness to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so I was really excited about that. Lord, what's the next step? So we just want to bless you guys and set it in. Father, we thank you for Mark and Bridget and the space you've called them to, and we thank you for the leadership team that sits around them and the people who are with them. Now, Holy Spirit, we commission them for the grand inheritance. Lord, as David said, we want to speak out over them. You have assigned me my portion and my lot. Surely the boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places, and I have a delightful inheritance. And Lord, we pray by the Holy Spirit that this team of leaders and this church would walk into all that you've promised. And Lord, as you said in Isaiah 62, those watchmen that you've posted on the walls, I thank you, Lord, that they would give themselves no rest until you've established Jerusalem in all the promises of God. So we bless them, Lord. We thank you for a new day. We call forth, Lord, this is the time. Now is the day to walk in to the promises of God. Walk into the inheritance, Lord. We pray for wisdom and strength and ability for this eldership team to lead this people into all the promises of God. We thank you for your rich anointing, Lord, and your fire in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Very cool. We had Mother's Day just recently, and one of the things that was so sweet for us is that I felt like the Lord said, bless the single moms. So we had this whole blessing. We blessed the moms, and we had them up front, and we blessed, and then we had the moms pray for the ladies who hadn't yet been able to be moms. And we asked the single moms to stand up front, and we took all their details down, and then we said to the church, hey, we're going to bless these people. And so we managed to give $650 per single mom who arrived. So we had some people visiting for the first time, you know, like, so one lady, do you do this always? yeah, we do. And so we had a little tea for the single moms afterwards outside my office, and while they were sitting there and they just got to know one another, we had the checks cut and we gave them all, and there was just this real blessing. So the single moms were blessed. But I'll tell you something, there was a beauty in the church. Something was unlocked in the church because the church rose up and said, yes, we'd like to help. And we blessed the moms. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the reason I'm saying that is I feel like there's something in the heart of the Lord. He wants to open up some doors over your church of favor and blessing and financial release. And the danger is that after a while, we get so used to the need and the problems. But I think there is a moment here for you in the next few months where there's an open door for you to just let the Holy Spirit lead you into generosity. And what Paul said to the Thessalonians, their poverty welled up in a rich generosity. And so some of you are going, yeah, those rich people should give more. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a sense in the church of a moment here, I think for the next few months, of where there's an invitation kind of hanging over you from the Holy Spirit. Hey, don't get all nervous. Just go, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I think you'll find the Holy Spirit will say, why don't you give that? And I think that there's this moment in God here where there's a seeding, as it were, of the ground and around you. I think this is an opportunity to say, Lord, what would you have us do? And I don't know, you guys need to figure that out, but I think there's going to be some movement and some sharing of some blessing amongst other people, and maybe even sowing some to some churches that are starting, and maybe even sowing to some buildings that, you know, are still looking for. But I have that just that sense that this is opportunity in the Spirit and for you to sow. And as you do, you'll find out that it is more blessed to give. And you can't outgive God. I want to take a little bit of time this morning to try and hopefully seal some of this. I hope that some of this has been practical for you in terms of not just the theory of this is how you do it, but this is what God wants to do, but this is how I can, what I need to walk out of this camp doing. And I'm hoping to close that up this morning. One of the things you have to see in the Old Covenant, and we've been focusing on how Israel took their inheritance because it's the shadow, it's the type, it's first the natural, then the spiritual, it's the physical reality of how God wants to take us into all that he's promised us in Christ. So we've been looking a lot at that, and I want to continue that process this morning. But one of the things the Lord said to Israel is, Moses had said, when you get into the promised land, there are going to be two mountains there, and he names them. And he says, I want six of the tribes to stand on the one mountain, and the other six of the tribes to stand on the other mountain, and the Levites will stand in the valley in between. And the Levites will take the book of the law, and they'll read out the book of the law. And I want everybody on this mountain to say amen to the curses, and I want everybody in this mountain to say amen to the blessings. Because God said, I want the declaration of my people. I want you, as it were, to seed the ground with the law of the Lord. I want you to testify over the inheritance that you're about to take, that it's under the rulership of what I've given you in the law. And so he said, on the mountains you must set up altars, and on the altars you must write all the words of the law. And then the Levites will stand in the valley, and they will pronounce all the blessings and cursings fundamentally of Deuteronomy 28. And he said, these people shall say amen to the blessings, and these people shall say amen to the curses, except there's 14 verses of blessings and there's 78 verses of curses. Right? So it's not all that good news. I mean, some of it is good news, but even the good news is really bad news, because he said, if you carefully obey all the words that are written, and if you always do all that I've commanded you, then the following blessings will come on you. And who of us always does everything perfect all the time? So it's not really a blessing, right? So one day, do yourself a favor and just go read that. It'll freak you out. It really will freak you out. In fact, if you read some of the, God says, listen, if you don't obey this, I'll send drought. And then he says, that won't be enough. And if you continue not to obey, he says, then I'll send enemies and they'll destroy you. He says, and the people that don't starve with the drought will get taken away by the enemies. And the people that escape the enemies will hide in the caves. And he says, I'll send a wasting disease into the caves. If you read it, it's like, who in their right minds go, amen, yeah, sign me up for that one, Lord. Anyway. So the first thing they do is they cross the Jordan, they take Ai, and then they go to the plains. And I want to pick this up and just begin to read it for you. And you know, all I've got here are the verses. I don't have any. Let me get it for you, because this is too good not to get the exact verse. Deuteronomy 27, from verse 9 to 26. Then Moses and all the Levitical priests said to all of Israel, be silent, Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today. And on that same day, Moses commanded the people. So this is Moses. Before they've gone into the promised land, he commanded the people. When you have crossed the Jordan, and these tribes shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce the curses: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice, "Cursed is anyone who makes an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of skilled hands, and sets it up in secret." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who dishonors his father and mother." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who moves his neighbor's boundary stone." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who leads the blind astray on the load." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who sleeps with his father's wife, for he dishonors his father's bed." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who has sexual relationship with any animal." All the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who sleeps with his sister." Then "Amen." "Cursed is anyone who sleeps with his mother-in-law." "Amen." Then people shall say, "Cursed is anyone who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person." "Cursed is anyone who doesn't uphold the words of this law by carrying them out." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." Now, I want you to know that the people of Israel come into the promised land, and God, because the nation, the inheritance is under the law. This is why they lost the inheritance, because God said, if you carefully and diligently obey all the words that are written in this law, then this will happen. You'll be blessed in the fields and blessed in the homes, blessed in the country, blessed in your barns. The livestock will be blessed. I'll abundantly bless you. I'll overtake you with blessings. But if you don't fully obey all the words that are written in this law, then the following curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Then you should be cursed in your bonds and cursed. And so this is a long list. And so the people seed the ground with their own confession and their own agreement. They agree to that statement of the law, and they speak out over the inheritance that they're about to go and take. The fundamental premise of the law. They say amen to the blessings and curses of God. And things go well, but for a small season, things start going poorly because people start failing. So God gave them a sacrificial system that would enable them to cover the sins that they commit until next year's Festival of Atonement. So at the Festival of Atonement, the nation's sins are atoned for one more year. And so there's this constant system of sacrifices because the people have now seeded the ground, the inheritance, with this principle that if we fall short, the following curses can come. And so there is continually sacrifices necessary to sustain us so that God doesn't bring the curses on us. So we cover our sins for a little while longer until next year when God will cover the nation's sins once again and then will not look upon the injustice of the people but looks upon the blood on the mercy seat, and justice and mercy are satisfied for one more year. Is everybody still tracking with me? So we have this problem of this inheritance is based, in their case, on their performance and on the law. Our inheritance is not based on our performance and the law, because our inheritance is based on the performance of Jesus Christ. And so when we come into our inheritance, our inheritance land is seeded not with law, but is seeded by grace. This is why when the scriptures talk about the inheritance that God has for you, always talks about the grace. You receive this by grace, through faith. This is not of yourselves. This is the gift of God. The grace of God is spoken out by us. And so when we begin to agree with grace, God begins to release inheritance to us. The moment we align ourselves not with the promises of blessing under grace, but with the curses of the law, we have stepped out of grace, and we now have an inheritance that is now based upon our performance. This is why, if you have that mindset, you think that the Holy Spirit leaves you and comes back. You think he's like a transitory movement because you go, "Oh, Holy Spirit, would you come? Take not your spirit from me," which was a particularly old covenant understanding. Why? Because under that inheritance, if you sinned, then things would leave and come back. But under a new covenant, the favor of God and the blessing of God and the smile of God and the acceptance of God and the inheritance of God is constantly extended to anybody who believes for it. Amen, Greg. I thought that was a very good point. No, I have to do that in my church too. No one again. So, the people of Israel are divided into two. Mount Gerizim. Now, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal are interesting mountains because Mount Gerizim had 10 springs that sprung out of the side of Mount Gerizim, and they formed little rivers that ran down. So if you look at Mount Gerizim, it looks verdant. It's just full of lush greenery. And Mount Ebal, the way the strata works is the springs go the other way. So when you're looking at Mount Ebal, it just looks like bare rock. So God says, okay, the following tribes go up on Mount, there's this verdant, lush fruitfulness, and he says, you guys say amen to the blessings. And he sends this 6 tribes up onto this mountain, and it's just bare bones and rock. And he says, you guys say amen to the curses. Why? It's like a visual in their face. A picture paints 1,000 words, right? And so, which is interesting. Now, the 6 tribes that he sends up onto the mountain of blessing are the descendants of Rachel and Leah, who were the favored wives, the principal wives of Jacob. And the 6 tribes he sends up are the secondary wives or the slave wives, right? They were both Zilpah and Bilhah were the servant girls who were given by their fathers when they were given in marriage. And so what happened, obviously, you know, between Rachel and Leah is that Rachel was the one he loved and Leah was the one he was tricked into marrying. And so he had kids by Leah, and Rachel was frustrated because she wasn't having any kids. So she gave Jacob her servant girl because she was trying to out-child Leah. Right? And so her servant girl starts to have kids, and then she gets ticked with the servant girl, and then Leah sees that she did that with her servant girl, so she gives him her servant girl. So Jacob's now got kids with both wives and with their servants. That's how he got 12 sons, right? And so God says, okay, this is the way it is. The children of the wives go up onto the mountain of blessing, and you speak out the blessings. And the children of the slaves, you go up onto this mountain, and you agree with the curses. Zilpah, her name means drooping. And Bilhah, her name means bashful or faltering. He says, okay, the children of the drooping and the children of the faltering. You go up on the mountain of cursing that's bare and barren, and you guys stand there. And when I say, cursed is everybody who moves a boundary stone, that's your cue to go, amen. See, the children of the slave woman, the children of the slave woman are born to say amen to curses. But the children of the beloved are given the task to say amen to the blessings. You get to choose what you say amen to. See, if you still have the mind of a slave, and all you want to do is say amen to the tough, the brutal, the harsh, the broken, and the cursing. When you become somebody who has understood that you're a son and a daughter of the King, your spirit begins to yearn to say amen to the blessings and the favor and the kindnesses of God. Are you tracking? Is this registering with anybody? Galatians 4. Verse 28. Now you brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. In other words, Paul says, listen, he takes you one generation earlier than the one we were reading about. He's talking about Isaac, who's the father of Jacob. And so Isaac, the grandfather of these 12 tribes that are now standing and blessing and cursing. And he says, listen, Isaac was born according to the promise of God, and Isaac was persecuted by the child that was born in the natural, right? And so the natural tribe, the natural child, and Paul later on equates the natural to certain places, and he equates the son born of promise to certain places, but he says the natural child will always persecute the one born of the Spirit. And so he says it is the same now. This same principle holds true. And so you have Isaac has Jacob, who's the child of promise. Jacob has these 12 children, and he has the 12 children by his free wife, the 6 children by his free wife, 6 children by the slaves. And he and this is how God separates them on the mountain, right? And Paul says, Galatians 4, but what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave's woman's son will never share in the inheritance of the free woman's son. Stop. You want to share in the inheritance of the free? You have to get rid of slave thinking. You have to stop saying amen to what slaves say amen to. Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son, right, he's talking about Isaac. Isaac's, Jacob is his son. Is it the slave woman, the offspring of the slave woman, do not share the inheritance of the children of the beloved. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Isn't that interesting? Now, turn with me then to 2 Corinthians 1. And I know we've preached this before here, but I just want to take you to it again. It's no trouble, Paul said, for me to say the same things to you again, because it's a safeguard for you. 2 Corinthians 1, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so, through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God does not put his Holy Spirit in you just because he wanted you to have an experience. God put his Holy Spirit in you, the Bible says, as a guarantee. Why? As a stamp, so that you know, hey, I'm going to do something more for you. Very cool. Now, if you're going to walk in all the inheritance of God, you have to align yourself with grace. You have to be somebody who learns to say yes and amen to every promise of God. For no matter how many promises God has ever spoken, they have all become yes in Jesus Christ. Because every covenant that God spoke, every covenant promise God spoke, had a condition attached to it. Even the Old Testament, there were conditions attached to them. And when Jesus Christ came, he perfectly fulfilled all the law. Okay. Stick with me on this. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. So Jesus comes, lives as the perfect man, completely fulfills the law. So if Jesus is now standing between those two mountains, what access does he have in the promised land of inheritance? Do any of the curses have any root in him? Do any of the blessings, are any of the blessings hindered from him? Jesus has access to all the blessings and to none of the curses. Are you tracking with me? Because if Jesus is the only person who perfectly fulfilled all the law, and so Jesus could walk over and claim any of the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. So Jesus Christ walked as a man perfectly under the law and leans in and takes the blessings that were promised in Deuteronomy 28 and walks around in the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. But Jesus then says to his disciples, hey, it's better for you guys that I go, because if I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And he said, these works that I do, you guys are going to do greater works than these. Why? Because I'm living under the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, but you guys are going to be living in a new covenant. Isn't that amazing? And so you don't just get... Now, if that's all you wanted to believe, that in Christ Jesus, the righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us. You do not live according to the law, but according to the Spirit, Paul said. You know that's in the Bible. Paul said that, right? He said, Because you believed in Jesus Christ, you were in Christ, and Christ is the only one who perfectly fulfills. So the righteous requirements of the law have been perfectly met in you, and so you have access to every blessing of Deuteronomy 28. You can lean in and access them, but that's a small part of your blessing, because Jesus didn't die for the old covenant blessings only. He died to give you a new covenant based on a better promise, better blood, better high priest. So you can walk, if you want, a diminished inheritance in just the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, which says, I'll send these blessings to come upon you and overtake you. That's not a shabby inheritance. It's not too shabby, eh, Nige? That's nice. I go, yay! But that's not what God really promised. Because he said, no matter how many promises God has made, they have all become yes to you in Christ Jesus. And so, when the Bible says, if we're talking about you walking into your inheritance, you can either walk into your inheritance and amen your way into legalism, in which case, it's going to be hit and miss. Or, you can come into the promised land and amen your way in grace, align yourself with grace, embrace Jesus Christ, never let him go, and just keep your eyes on him. And you can access any blessing, any promise that God ever made anywhere in Scripture. It has become yes to you because you're in Christ Jesus. And when you're in Christ Jesus, there is not one curse anywhere in Scripture that applies to you. Because cursed is he who is hung on a tree. And Jesus Christ bore all the curses for us. Isn't that sweet? And so when we come into the promised land, I believe God wants us to seed our inheritance with confessions of grace, not of the law. And so I want to challenge you, I want to charge you to get yourself saturated in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to walk in all your inheritance? You've got to seed the ground with confessions of grace. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He has made us one. I stand holy and blameless in his sight. He, in love, he predestined me to be adopted as a child. I am sealed in the righteousness of God and the Holy Spirit. I walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. I am the much-loved child of the eternal God. I am wholly forgiven, completely loved, richly blessed, highly favored. You need to start seeding the ground, and you need to seed your brain. Because one of the realities, friends, is I see people step into the promised land, and if you give them a choice, they want to walk up to the barren mountain, and they want to start agreeing with curses. And it says to me, you still have the mind of a slave. But we are not of the slave. We are not children of the slave woman. You come into grace, you just leave that slave thing behind. You go, I'm going to walk over here to the verdant mountain. And every time, and my job is not to add amen the curses. I just stand here. Says, oh, and the blessing of God will come upon your finances. Amen. And then they go over there. He says, but if you don't, then the curse of God will come. And they go, amen. And he says, and your children will be blessed in the land. Amen. Yeah, but your kids are going to get beaten up and sorted out. Amen. Your crops will thrive. Amen. Yeah, your crops is blight and mildew. Amen. No matter how many promises. I'm just going to read this because you think I'm making this stuff up. Right? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. What amens are you saying? The first thing God had them come when they walked into their inheritance is to say amen to stuff. God had them seed the ground with amens. And you need to seed your inheritance with some amens. You need to start saying amen. It's remarkable when you preach the gospel and you go, do you know that the favor of God is always extended to you? And some people say amen. And they begin to experience it. Some people go, oh, I don't think so. And they walk over here to the barren mountain and they say, but the curses of God. And then they say, hey, they start saying, I'm telling you internally, they start saying amen to the curses and the brutality. They say amen to the wrong things. If you hear nothing else today, please hear this one statement. You in Christ are not the children of the slave woman. The children of the slave woman have no inheritance for the children of promise. You're not the children of the slave woman. You're the children of promise. And when you walk into your inheritance, when you're looking towards your inheritance, crossed over the Jordan, West Bank view, crossed over the Jordan, looking at your inheritance, it's time for you to start saying, amen. That's mine. Amen. No matter how many promises God has made, they have become amen to you in Christ Jesus. And the amen is spoken. The so be it must be spoken by you for God to get glory. Jesus Christ has paid. God has delivered you into your promised land. See, people are saved. Many, many Christians cross the Jordan, get saved, and settle. God didn't cross the Jordan for the sake that you can cross the Jordan. That's wonderful you're across the Jordan. You're in the promised land. You're going to heaven. Praise God. Now, start saying amen. So be it. So be it in my life. Stop putting your foot down. Start stepping out. Start saying amen. And drop the slave mind. Because under grace, when you align yourself with grace, you're aligning yourself with the favor and blessing that are ours in Christ Jesus. Now I want to close, because that's my whole story. I want to close today with you settling something in your heart. Because my Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to testify to you, to your spirit, that you are a child of God. And the Spirit of God constantly cries, Abba. He's the Spirit of adoption. He witnesses, he testifies, he tells you, hey, you're a child of God. And he connects intimacy between you and the Father. And so the Spirit is constantly working the Abba cry in your heart. And if you'll surrender to the work of the Spirit of God, a cry of Abba, of intimacy towards the Father, is always constantly coming out of you. The accusation, the condemnation, the judgment, the criticism, the sense of distance from God is the gospel that the devil preaches. Because the devil feels condemnation. The devil feels judgment. The devil feels distance from God. Right? The devil is preaching the truth as he perceives it. That's the gospel of the enemy. Condemnation, separation from God, judgment, impending doom, nothing you do is right. Whose gospel is that? The Spirit of God? No, that's the devil. The Holy Spirit is, hey, you're a child, a beloved child. He cries, Abba. This is why he's been sent. He's sent into our hearts to say, hey, 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 you're a child of promise. And so this morning I'd like to end with you making a decision for your life. But I'll tell you, if you make it for you, you help all of us walk forward into ours. Because we're going to walk forward together. But it doesn't help if half of you are saying, yeah, I think I'm going to go stand up beyond the slave mountain. We've got to say, Lord, sign us up. And we'll say amen to whatever you say, Holy Spirit. But I will not say amen. I will not say amen to the spirit that wants to make me a slave again. Not going to buy that one. Not going to go there. No, thank you. Say to the enemy, if you want to go stand on that mountain, have at it. It's prepared for you and your angels. Right? Go and say amen to the curses. But the curses, amen to curses, is not fitting for me and it's not fitting for you who have come into Christ Jesus. I know it's not fair. I know it's almost too good to be true. I get it. But that's the way Jesus set it up. Now you and I, friends, have to make a choice Amen, Lord. So be it in my life. So I'm going to close a prayer. And I'm going to say, Lord, we say amen to whatever you say. We say amen to your favor and your blessing and your forgiveness and your acceptance and your justification. We say amen to it all. We say amen to our whole inheritance. We say amen to prosperity and to blessing so that we can be a blessing. So let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name to just honor you, Lord. Just take a moment to thank you, Father, for what Paul called, Lord, such a great salvation. Oh, Lord, that you have considered our humble estate. That you knew, Father, that we were just dust and that we were sold as slaves to sin. And what the law was powerless to do, you yourself did, Father. And you redeemed us from under the law. And you've redeemed us from our sin, Lord. And you have set us on high and given us authority and a name which is above every other name, that at that name every knee will bow. And Father, you've linked us to you. And what an honor this is, Lord. We have become one with you, Lord Jesus. And you have indwelt us and filled us up with your Spirit, Lord. How kind are you that broken and weak and, Lord, honestly, not doing well, people have been redeemed and purchased into a beautiful salvation, arranged and secured in every part, washed by the precious blood of Jesus, called to be your very own, Lord, sealed in you with the seal of the Spirit of God. What can we say, Lord, to this? How can we give you thanks, Lord, for all of your kindness? We just take a moment, Lord, to say thank you. But also, Lord, we choose this day to confess that we are not the children of the slave woman. We are the children of promise, born of the Spirit of God, called to a delightful inheritance, set aside, Lord, to walk in all the promises of God. And so this day, Lord, as a people, we choose to say yes and amen to every promise of our God. We say amen to your favor. We say amen to your forgiveness and washing. We say amen to your justification. We say amen to your sanctification. We say amen to your power. Amen to your peace. Amen to your joy. Amen to your righteousness. Amen to your prosperity. Amen to hearing the voice of God. Amen to the guidings of the Spirit of God. Amen to the glory of God constantly abiding. Amen, Lord, to the power to see the nation shaken. Amen, Lord, to all the glories that you have planned for this church before time began. Amen and amen, Lord, so be it. Let it be, Father. Only let it be, Lord, to the glory of our God. We're not interested in the glory, Lord. It's preposterous that we should receive glory in this environment, Lord. It is you, Jesus, who should receive honor, and you, Father, who should receive the glory. And so, Lord, to that end, we ask, pour out blessing upon blessing beyond, Lord, anything we could possibly cope with, so that we have to give it away generously, so that we have to bless others, so that we have to do the thing that you've called us to. Prosper this church so greatly, Lord, so mightily, Lord, that we have to give it away. We say amen to that, Lord. Amen to your leadership, Holy Spirit. Amen to what you've called us to. And thank you, Lord, for these days of protection. In Jesus' name. Amen.